Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. During the Festival of Sukkot, the Book of Ecclesiastes is traditionally read as part of the Jewish service. Today's script, Koheleth My Teacher, was written by Joseph Mendel. It was based on an incident narrated in this book, a modern translation of which is to be found in the new book on Ecclesiastes, Koheleth, The Man and His World, by Dr. Robert Gordis, who is Associate Professor of the Bible at the seminary.
This is in the book of Ecclesiastes. The words of Koheleth, my teacher.
What has been, will be. And what has been done, will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun.
Therefore, I will tell you a story that Koheleth heard in his days. For as it was then, it may be again in your time. There was a city in a plain between two rivers, and its people lived in peace within the gates. Beyond the walls lay their fields, sown in wheat and barley, grown tall and golden in the time of harvest. In Tishri, the seventh month, the people came to gather the grain, and they built huts of myrtle and willow twigs against the sun.
Stay in the hut, Rebecca. The sun is strong.
No, Daniel, I want to help.
You've worked enough.
I'm not tired.
Daniel, she was my daughter before she was your wife. If she says no...
Rebecca?
All right, Daniel. If you want me to rest, I'll rest.
I'm glad. What did you say, Father?
Nothing. Come, let's finish the field, Daniel, huh? You take the knife and cut the wheat. I'll tie the sheaf.
Oh, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein.
You. You over there.
Who, me? What is it, Daniel?
Enoch's workman. He's taking your wheat, Eliezer. Put it down.
What's the matter with you?
That sheaf doesn't belong to you.
Of course not. It's Enoch.
It belongs to Eliezer. Put it down.
You're touched by the sun, Daniel.
What?
Take your hand off me.
Daniel, I warn you.
Put that down. Put down that...
Daniel! Put away the knife. Daniel.
You want your wheat stolen, Eliezer?
The wheat is from Enoch's field.
That's a lie.
Daniel. The sheaf is on the edge between the two fields.
Your field is not so big that I don't remember every sheaf of wheat.
I put it down here myself.
Daniel, we'll talk to Enoch.
What good is talk? Enoch is a rich man. His voice is louder than yours.
Nevertheless, I will be heard.
Don't you understand, Eliezer? It's your wheat.
It won't spoil.
You have to fight to keep your own.
We'll talk to Enoch, Daniel. There's always time for fighting.
They're inside the gates! An army is marching against the city! Inside the gates!
Now is it the time for fighting, Eliezer?
No, Daniel, not yet. First, we must finish the harvest.
Everything has its appointed time, and there is a season for every event under the sky. There is a time to be born and a time to die, Time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time of war and a time of peace.
Before nightfall, the people gathered in the last of the harvest and withdrew behind the gates. And in the morning, the city was besieged by an army that camped in the plain in orderly ranks, polishing its weapons. The harvest season was ended before its time.
You're sharpening your sword, Daniel.
As you see, Enoch.
That's good.
Is it?
Of course, Eliezer. There's no fear in the city. Tell me, did you get in all of your harvest before they came?
Enoch,
now let me do the talking. Enoch, we gathered all except one sheaf.
What? Oh, yes, my workmen told me about your little dispute. Daniel, your father-in-law, Eliezer, is a wise man.
I know, but about
this... If he had insisted that it was his wheat, I might well have been stubborn myself. I have a tendency in that direction, you know. But when he put it the way he did, well, my workman could have been mistaken. If you're sure, Daniel...
I'm sure.
Then I'll take your word for it. It was a very clever tactic, Eliezer.
Enoch, I wasn't trying to be clever.
Weren't you?
I meant what I said. I want you to understand.
I do, and that only proves that I'm right. You're a wise man, Eliezer. That is, a clever man.
I'm not sure that I'm flattered by your judgment, Enoch.
The elders share my opinion. We're meeting to consider the defense of the city, and we want you to be there.
Me? I don't know anything about military matters.
Maybe not. Still, we want you. Will you come?
I'll be there. Only, Enoch, I hope the elders will like my kind of wisdom. That is, cleverness.
Let me finish. The harvest is in. Both rivers run through the city. We can withstand a long siege.
Don't you think the enemy knows that? They'll attack.
I'm coming to that. If they attack, our greatest weakness is in the West Tower. And that's where we'll put the strongest force. Now, I'm willing to take a 10% loss there if it holds.
If it holds, we can stand higher, maybe 15%.
Listen to me! Do you know how you sound?
What did you say, Eliezer?
I know you, Ezra. And you, Phineas, and Enoch. You're not heartless men. Your own sons may be in the West Tower. I think you know that, too. Have you listened to what you were saying?
Well, I don't know.
Enoch, this is what comes of bringing an impractical talker to a council of war.
Maybe I shouldn't have insisted. Eliezer, when you plan a battle, you have to be realistic.
Have you planned how to avoid a battle, Enoch?
Well, the circumstances are not of our choosing.
If they were, there would be no need to plan.
Eliezer, we have important matters to discuss.
So have I. Listen. The rivers run through the city. Suppose we dig canals within the walls to divert the water and flood the plain outside.
Yes, where the enemy is camped.
Yes. If the whole city works, the canals can be dug in a single night.
With the enemy floundering in the flooded plain, our archers can wipe them out.
Well, didn't I say he was a clever man? Give orders to start the canals at once.
No way. That's not what I meant.
It's perfectly clear what you meant.
Oh, you don't understand, Enoch. There's something we must do first.
The canals come first. And the sooner we begin, the better.
Don't you see? We must tell the enemy what we propose to do.
Help the enemy. You must have a reason, Eliezer.
I have a reason. I don't want to be killed. Neither do I want to kill.
Well, sometimes you have to choose one or the other.
Sometimes. But not yet. Now we have a different choice.
No, Eliezer.
Dig the canals, but hold the water back. The enemy needs a week to prepare the attack. We can be ready in a day.
You're defeating the whole plan.
No. This is the plan.
You don't know what you're saying.
I'm saying that peace is better than war. I'm saying we can choose.
It's too late.
Not yet. There's always time for fighting.
But there's nothing else we can do.
There is. We can offer the enemy the same choice. We can show him that the war cannot be won, but only lost, and convince him to go home.
Raise the flag of truce.
Hold your arrows! We want to talk.
We'll talk when you open the gates.
It's to your advantage. Send us a man to talk for you.
I don't send my men into traps.
It's not a trap. We ask in good faith.
I'll trust you when you throw your weapons down.
It will save lives.
Your lives? I'm not interested in them.
What do you lose by talking?
Stubborn fool.
If you're so anxious to talk, send a man to my camp. We'll have a conversation.
It's no use, Eliezer. They won't trust us.
Then we'll have to trust them, Mina.
We can't. They're first warriors, then men.
Even warriors want to
live. It's out of the question. We can't send a man to almost certain death.
And you're going to fight because you're afraid not to.
Oh, be reasonable, Eliezer. The elders have gone along with you as far as it could.
Mina, am I going someplace the elders don't want to go? Whatever you have done has not been for my sake. And you can't stop now.
There's nothing else we can do.
There is. Send me to talk to their general.
Don't listen to him.
Stay out of this, Daniel.
No, Eliezer. I won't let you risk your life, little as you seem to care, to save the lives of an army of destroyers.
Do you think I'm not afraid to go? Or that I look forward to dying?
Then let things be as they are. We've tried our best. Their blood will not be on our hands.
No? Then on whose hands? Answer me, Daniel.
Enoch. Let me go. I'm younger and stronger. I can better endure whatever may be.
Maybe you're right, Daniel. At least you stand a better chance to escape.
How impractical your practical minds can be. Daniel, is that the purpose of going? To endure and to escape?
I know the plan, Eliezer, and I can reveal it as well as you.
Yes, you would know the words to say. But, Daniel, do you believe that you can convince the enemy to leave and go home?
No. Nor could you nor anyone.
Maybe not. But I believe that they are men and therefore can be persuaded to choose life rather than death. Don't you see, Daniel? If you don't believe that, there's no use in going.
These are the words of Koheleth, my teacher.
He who is attached to all the living still has hope. For surely a live dog is better than a dead lion. The living know at least that they will die, but the dead know nothing. For their memory is forgotten, and no longer have they a share in all that is done under the sun.
Eliezer went out through the gates of the city and walked in the morning sun to the camp of the enemy, and the words went with him.
Sweet is the light, and it is good for the eyes to see the sun. For if a man live many years, let him rejoice in them all, and remember that the days of darkness will be many.
In the city, the people began to dig canals to divert the waters of the two rivers.
Daniel! Daniel! Oh, stop digging and listen to me.
What is it, Rebecca?
In all that's happened, we've forgotten something.
What have we forgotten?
The harvest festival. Why are you staring at me?
With an army outside the gates, you can talk of harvest festivals?
Why not?
Why not? Because some things are more important than others.
More important? The fruitfulness of the earth? The renewal of life? That's important, Daniel. Out there is death. Life is more important than death.
Even to giving up your life to prove it.
Daniel.
I shouldn't have said it, Rebecca.
I didn't cry when he went out through the gates. Daniel, what's happening to him now?
Tie him up, Geshem, so he can't escape.
I didn't have to come to your camp, General. But I'm here.
Put away the robe, Geshem. Now, what did you really come for?
I've told you what we plan to do.
You don't expect me to believe it.
It's the truth.
I'm an old soldier, Eliezer, or whatever you call yourself. The enemy does not reveal his secret weapons. He uses them, if he has them.
Send one of your captains to the city to see for himself.
You're trying to gain time.
I'm trying to save lives, yours and ours.
I'm not concerned with that.
You should be.
Stop preaching to me. Eliezer, tell me the truth. Or I'll turn you over to Geshem and his assistants.
Is it so difficult to believe what I've told you?
Geshem, take him away.
Wait.
You're a brave man, Eliezer, but your courage is wasted. Sooner or later, you'll tell me what I want to know. Make it less painful for yourself.
I'm afraid of you and of the look in Geshem's eye. But I've said what I came to say, and you don't understand.
Why did you come here?
General, if we flooded the plain, how would we be different from an enemy attacking a defenseless city?
Answer my question.
We give you the same choice as we have.
But why?
Because we are not a people of soldiers, and we don't want to be a people of soldiers with death in our hands.
You're a strange man, Eliezer. I don't understand you.
You don't have to. It's enough to understand that there need not be a battle.
If what you tell me is true, mind you, I'm not saying I believe it. When can you put your plan in operation?
By now, the canals are dug. You'll have to hurry, General. It's getting late.
You're not going anyplace, Eliezer. Huh? If I do decide to send one of my captains, you'll stay here as a hostage.
Oh, I was afraid you'd think of that.
Well, it's obvious.
You must not keep me here.
Don't tell me what I can and cannot do.
I tried to convince them not to do it.
Huh? What are you talking about now?
If I'm not back in the city soon, they'll let loose the water. It's risky, I told them.
Is it?
Of course. I might stumble, for example, and hit my head on a stone. Then the whole effort would be wasted. But I couldn't convince them.
Eliezer, I believe you really tried.
You see, then, that you mustn't hold me here.
I see. But it's too bad.
If I'm lying, General, you have a reasonable chance of getting me back if you take the city.
That's a comforting thought. Geshem, take him out now.
Why?
No, no, gently. And Geshem, send me the chief of my captains.
There are the canals, Captain. Look out there and see how your camp will be flooded. Well, Captain?
I have seen.
What do you say?
We would not have given warning, but that's not what you want to hear.
You have authority to speak for your general.
We accept the terms and we will leave.
You will leave as you came, Captain. There are no terms.
The conditions granted by Eliezer...
Enoch, I took it on myself to offer a part of our harvest.
What? We don't have to bribe them, Eliezer.
It's not a bribe. They need food to get home. They will return it to us.
We didn't ask them to come, and we won't pay them to go.
We don't ask to be born or to die. Things happen. And if we must undo them, there is a price that we must pay in one way or another.
No, no, Eliezer. If they won't leave, then let them stay. They know what to expect.
And so do we. Have you forgotten why we gave them warning? Not for their sake, but for ours.
It's enough that we gave them the choice.
It must be a real choice, Enoch. Without food, what alternative do they have?
It's no use, Eliezer. They'll come back next year.
If they do, then we can destroy them utterly. Without mercy.
Let's do it now and be finished.
No, it is not necessary now. And perhaps they will not return.
Eliezer, how far will you go to avoid fighting?
There are times when we have to fight, when our lives and our families are truly at stake. But we know the cost of war. Peace has its price, too. Enoch, if you choose peace, you must be willing to pay for it.
Well, they're leaving, Eliezer. But what if they hadn't left? What would we have done then?
Why do you ask, Enoch? You know the answer.
Maybe I want to hear you say it.
Then I'll say it. We would have fought, and many would have died. And even though we would have won, our hands would always bear for us the stain of death.
Eliezer! Can you hear me?
I hear you, General.
I didn't get you, after all.
You have something better.
Have I?
Yes. You have your life.
Eliezer, I thank you.
Eliezer, we too owe you thanks.
No, Enoch. I only did what I had to do.
Still, it saved the city. And it saved us.
A man must be what he is. Enoch, when I die, no one will ask, why was he not Moses? I want them not to ask, why was he not Eliezer?
The gates were opened. And the people of the city went out into the fields, and they saw that the harvest huts, the booths of myrtle and willow twigs, were still standing. And Enoch said,
we will celebrate the deliverance of the city.
Enoch, there is something more important.
We are not dead, Rebecca. That's reason enough to celebrate.
We continue to live, which is a better reason. And therefore we should celebrate the harvest as well.
And so they hung the booths with palm branches and leaves of the field. And they gathered for the celebration and sang a psalm of David.
The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein.
And Eliezer too said the words,
who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart.
And this was a celebration, remembered in the generations, of a festival of deliverance and the promise of life. This is the story Koheleth, my teacher, heard in his days. And he wrote it in his book.
There was found in the besieged city a poor wise man, who saved the city by his wisdom. Yet no one remembered that poor man.
But I remember, and Koheleth remembered, for he said,
the words of the wise, spoken quietly, are heard better than the ranting of the king of fools. For this I say, wisdom is better than strength.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Dr. Robert Henry Pfeiffer, Chairman of the Department of Semitics at Harvard University. Dr. Pfeiffer.
Ladies and gentlemen of the radio audience, in the preceding sketch, you have just heard that Ecclesiastes was a poor but wise farmer who saved his city. Others say that he was a school teacher. Whatever his profession was, what matters was his state of mind, his philosophy. In an article published more than 15 years ago, I said, Ecclesiastes was a cynic, devoid of illusions. His point of view was skepticism, as Bertrand Russell understands it, namely that it is undesirable to believe a proposition when there is no ground whatever for supposing it true. He expressed his disillusionment about God's dealings with man, about nature, and about the insignificance of man in the following words. Men can be certain of neither God's love nor his hate. Anything may happen to them. One fate awaits all men. One lot comes to the just and to the unjust. As with the good man, so with the sinner. All things are tiresome. What has been will be, and what has been done will be done again. Again I saw that beneath the sun, the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the brave, nor is bread won by the wise. What profit has a man of all his labor beneath the sun? I said to myself concerning men, surely God has tested them and shown that they are nothing but beasts. For the fate of men and the fate of beasts is the same. As one dies, so does the other. All go to one place. All come from the dust. And all return to the dust. I have felt sorry for Ecclesiastes as one of the most unhappy of men. For he apparently saw only the sad side of life. But now, after reading the new book of Professor Robert Gordis of the Jewish Theological Seminary in New York, Koheleth, The Man and His World, I realize that Ecclesiastes really enjoyed life. This is the best commentary on Ecclesiastes in English, and I have quoted the words of Ecclesiastes from the translation it contains. Gordis is right. Ecclesiastes knew that joy in life is the one divine commandment. I would add that from dismal reality, Ecclesiastes found escape in the ideal world of dreams, and thus he lived on through the centuries, for, as Dana Burnett says, who dreams shall live, and if we do not dream, then we shall build no temple into time.
Thank you, Dr. Pfeiffer. Our Eternal Light drama today, Koheleth, My Teacher, was written by Joseph Mindell and was based on the translation in Dr. Robert Gordis' book, Koheleth, The Man and His World, just published by the seminary. The music was composed by Morris Momofsky and conducted by Milton Catons. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Peter Capel was heard as Eliezer, Susan Douglas as Rebecca, Joe DeSantis as Enoch, Raymond Edward Johnson as the general, and Norman Rose as the narrator. The production was under the direction of Edward King. This is Mel Brand speaking. Free time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.